T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Great baseball writer, longtime baseball insider, the great Peter Gammons. Hi, Peter. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
No, I'm doing pretty well. It's kind of a strange thing, but I think it's great that these, that they're at least they're trying. I mean, I was doing a thing today. There's no guarantee that before June next year, we're going to be talking about baseball. Get this season in, get 60 games in, and then find out where we are in February. But I think it's fun. And I actually think, do I think the 60 game season is perfect? Chris are flawed, but this isn't about baseball. This is about a plague that hasn't hit this country in 102 years, and mishandled, of course. But it's there, and it's if for teams, for a lot of teams, if you're trying to build up a fan base, you can go and put your foot down on the accelerator, go hard for 60 games. If you're San Diego or Miami or maybe even Detroit, I don't think quite Detroit, but at least they could sell some of their young players, Kansas City. The 162 games really, it exposes an awful lot over a season. I mean, flaws. But young players could come in and young pitchers could come in and maybe, you can get for 60 games, you can be well over 500 and be able to tell your fans on September 10th, we got a chance to be in the playoffs. And most importantly, Don Mattingly talked about this. He sees the game from every viewpoint. I mean, he's one of the very smartest people I've ever encountered. He looked at it and said, look, if we play really hard and really well, some of our young players have some energy, maybe we finally start to get people, fans, attracted to the Marlins. We might not make the playoffs, but at the same time, if we can just sell them on, okay, these guys are good, and they're only going to play for 60 games so that their weaknesses are not going to be as well known and so forth, maybe we take a huge jump in our franchise history. And I think that's the way a lot of teams will do it. I'm sure the Indians will. I mean, that's just how Terry Francona thinks. It's going to be really fun. I mean, I'm, it's not perfect, but it's a whole lot better than nothing. Or people doing like analytics. This is what should happen. And it doesn't happen that way. Balls roll through the hole or, weird things happen. But, I still believe that with the White Sox coming, although I have no idea why Kopech is not with them. And Minnesota is still very good. You could have a really good three-team race with Kansas City coming up a little bit, and it could be a really interesting time in the race in the Central Division. And it could you have three teams going for one, maybe two postseason positions. I don't know. I think it still has a chance to be really good for fans as long as there's enough distancing and wearing masks and adhering to protocols, because if a team loses three or four guys at one time, that means you got three or four good players missing a third of the season. That's you're out. You probably don't have no chance.
We're talking with Peter Gammons, great baseball writer. Peter, you know, you mentioned a three-team race in the American League Central. We've talked about that. Obviously, the shorter season helps the young White Sox, even though they might have been in it in a long season anyway. When you look at the Indians and their starting rotation in particular, do you think, you know, that could give them a big advantage in this division over the short season?
I think it gives them a great chance to be in it right into September. And you know, Terry Francona's record speaks for itself. He's a Hall of Famer. He's one unanimous Hall of Famer. But I look at, you know, Bieber, Clevinger. If Carrasco comes back, it's not only a very good pitcher, but it's a great story that, I mean, if I were living in Cleveland, and I'm an unabashed admirer of the Indians. Matter of fact, when I was out doing my walk this morning, I had my Indians gear on. And I'm a huge Savali fan. That's a really good rotation. You know, if tonight Bieber walks two guys, I'll be disappointed. But that's all right. No, he's just one of my favorite players. And I look at the bullpen and I say, you know, with Brad Hand and Wickton, I love Karinchak. I mean, I think he has a chance to be really good. I mean, it's going to be a fascinating thing. And, you know, I think over 162 games, it might be hard replicating what the Indians have done in the last couple of years. But with that rotation and a couple breaks with young player or players like, let's say, I mean, I look at Lindor, Mercado, Ramirez, Reyes, Domingo Santana, Greg Allen. They're all in the prime age where they should be at their best. And you can throw Bobby Bradley into that or Bo Naylor or whatever. But and maybe a Tyler Freeman comes out of nowhere. Maybe Brad Zimmer stays healthy because I know he's a really good player. There's so much that could happen here that, you know, it's just, I don't know. It just makes me think this could be fun. I compared it to a stock car race. I don't know if you ever went to stock car races when you were young, but they used to be really wild. Guys driving around at 100 miles an hour in these beat-up cars and these little tracks and crashing into one another. But I think it could be like that. I think it could be totally insane, which after not seeing any sports for a few months, insanity sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Peter Gammons is with us, the great Peter Gammons, excuse me. Peter, 60 games, you mentioned it a little bit there as we opened the interview. How do you think it'll be perceived? I mean, do you think there's some people that look at it and say, this doesn't count, this is kind of a, you know, asterisk mark season, or is it legit?
Well, it's not legit in terms of history, but I think it's legit in terms of baseball, and I think that just seeing people go out there, I think you'll see players play really hard because they know. I mean, you can't say, oh, well, you know, we lost six in a row, but it's okay because we got 130 games to go. There's none of that. It is a stock car race, and it's terribly dependent, as I mentioned, on health. And I also worry about with the layoff, are there going to be some injured arms, soft tissue injury, a lot of pulls and hamstrings. But at the same time, I do think that the urgency of it, every game becomes important. And I know mid-April and early May games don't have a lot of urgency for me in a 162-game schedule. And I think there is urgency here. And there are rewards for playing in the postseason. I think it makes it's your audience. I think people will grasp onto it and say, okay, I mean, I'm sitting here. I'm a huge hockey fan. I have no idea what's going on. But at the same time, I'm living in New England. And the Brewers were really good before I'm really hoping to see them play playoffs have a chance to win. I mean, if they win, as far as I'm concerned, they won. I think a lot of baseball fans will do it the way. I think that the people who are real purists, the people who think baseball's analytics, not human, will find all sorts of flaws in it. But I just want to have fun, sit back, and enjoy it. You know, I mean, I have to watch it at home. I get that, but that's not bad. I mean, I get to have dinner, I get to have a beer, and I look out at the sunset over Buzzards Bay and off Cape Cod. So it sounds pretty good to me. Like I watch as many games as I can.
We're talking with Hall of Famer Peter Gammons. Peter, all right. Which of these three things, if you had to bet on one of them being the most likely to happen this year, what would you bet on? A starting pitcher having an ERA under one, a hitter batting 400, or a hitter getting a 500 on base?
I think a hitter hitting 400. I like the average. I think as great as the pitching is, and I think they can dominate, even Max Scherzer and guys like that, I still wonder a little bit with all the layoff if they're going to be as precise. It may not show up in walks, but will the command be the same? Will every Max Scherzer change up and breaking ball be right? Will every some of the great pitchers, I mean, I take, to me, he's the best young pitcher in the game, Jack Flaherty.
Yeah.
As committed as he is, and he's brilliant, he's, you know, I actually know his Harvard Westlake headmaster. He's a friend of mine. He's the most intense intellectual guy he's ever met in his life. But he's still human. And I do remember this a lot. Remember the layoff in 89 when the A's and Giants, the earthquake, and they were going to wait, come up. My partner at ESPN at that time was Joe Torre. I was very lucky, by the way. And people were saying, oh, you know, the pitchers will have a great advantage. He kept saying, Peter, the pitchers are not going to have the great command that they normally have. This is a hitter's game. And he was right. I mean, the A's just battered the poor Giants in the last two games and won the World Series. But I wonder how perfect pitchers can be. Command is so touch, feel. If I can make an exception, to me, Shane Bieber will come up with some way to have perfect command no matter what he does. I mean, he might be out for 3 months and come back and walk no one and strike out 28 in 10 starts, you know, or 8 starts. I think it's going to be very difficult for a lot of pitchers. There will be a lot of mistakes. So I think there's a real, particularly, I mean, obviously he has to be a contact guy, but I think you could see some really good contact type hitter. I can see Clay Bellinger hitting 400.
Sure.
I think that kind of thing is a distinct possibility. I actually see Francisco Lindor hitting 400. Because, I mean, he's not going to go out there and goes, oh, I got to hit home runs. He's going to hit line drives and get on base. And a lot of things can happen with that. Anyway, now that I think about that, I hadn't thought about that. That was a good question. I grew up in New England, you know. I think it would be really cool. I don't care if it's 60 games or not. For Francisco Lindor to be the first guy since Ted Williams to hit 400 would be really cool because everybody in the country loves Lindor. And
we do.
It doesn't matter where you live. He's just a joy to watch play.
You know, Peter, he is. That was my last question, probably. What do you think happens with Lindor? I mean, he says he wants to be here. Indians certainly don't have the money. They're not going to be able to afford to keep him. What do you think ultimately happens?
I think he goes somewhere else. I don't think in this short of season he's going to be tradable on August 31st and get what you want because for 1 year, are you going to give up 3 or 4 players? I think it's more possible that he gets traded over the winter where you think you're going to get a full season. But it's, you know, the biggest thing is and I hate to say this because I obviously love Lindor. The biggest thing for the Indians is just figure out what are the economics in a small market under 400,000 people. How do you do it? Cleveland's still a great baseball town. And it's just getting all the demographics and getting everything in place. It was great I loved it in the 90s, but you didn't have the Cavaliers and the Browns downtown. It's a whole different thing. And yet I still believe that because of the baseball tradition, that it's viable. I don't know if we go back and say, hey, the Cleveland Indians, because of Bill Veeck, changed the American League. And I keep telling people, just remember this about what happened. It's always Jackie Robinson. What about Larry Doby? And what about Cleveland being the team in the American, after when Jackie Robinson signed, the first 6 years, or the next 6 years after Robinson, that was the first year of the Rookie of the Year, the National League had all but 1 year the Rookie of the Year was an African-American. The first, because Judge Landis wouldn't let Beck into the game for a while, the first African-American to win Rookie of the Year in the American League was Tommy Agee in 1966. And I've always felt that what Cleveland did to sustain the American League while the owners of the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Tigers would not sign black players. It should be a major part of baseball history and should be a great part of Cleveland pride. Because, to me, Veeck is one of the greatest people in baseball history. And I can remember as a little kid, other than Herb Score, who was absolutely, when I was like 8 years old, Herb Score was my idol. I used to throw against the wall. I'm right-handed, but I've tried to emulate Herb Score all those years. He's like my favorite boyhood player, even though I lived in Boston. But still, the Indians, I love them because they were so, they were so diverse. They were so different. The 54 team, that World Series happens. Dusty Rhodes does hit a home run off Bob Lemon in the 10th inning, and that changes everything. But maybe there's a way that baseball could just say, it's not only Jackie Robinson. Look what Cleveland did to change the game. And I've actually something that I really feel very strongly about, that when they do Jackie Robinson Day, they should do a Cleveland Day and say, thank you very much for what the Indians – or whatever their name will be at the end of August, and Bill Veeck did for baseball.
Well said, Peter. We really appreciate the time. Peter Gammons, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It was great to talk to you.
You too. Peter Gammons, MLB Hall of Famer, longtime baseball writer.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.